This is Terry Alderton, and you're listening to Talk Sport Radio with Hawksby and Jacobs, or as I like to call them, H&J.
Thank you, Terry. And it's Hawksby and Jacobs here on Talk Sport. And we're asking you about the day you stopped play. A photographer in Dubai managed to stand in front of the sight screen twice. Yesterday and got told off by the umpires. That takes some doing. My brother stopped play at Stansted Airport. Working as a shop fitter, he managed to interrupt the laser fire detection system with his head popping above a false ceiling like a meerkat. Airport evacuated, flights delayed, he says.
Oh, dear.
So keep those coming. We've had a couple of people doing the mancini. Jason Williams in his kitchen. Holding up the imaginary red card.
That's not even imaginary.
He's got a red card.
He's actually made a red card. And Robert Smedley, he's definitely got the wrong idea. I don't know what happened there.
Well, joining us in the studio, always a pleasure to welcome back. Bradley Walsh, good to see you, Bradley.
Hey, Paul, Andy, all right, lads?
Yeah, it's been a while.
It has been a while, actually. Yeah, it's been a long, long while. But, you know, well, we see each other. I've seen you a couple of times your dues when you're doing your writing and stuff. I haven't seen Andy for a while.
You used to be a comedian. Well, you still are, but your career is incredible. No, when you came, you know what I'm saying? When you came on...
What passes for a compliment from Andy.
It does.
He was about to qualify.
Andy's trying to say it's come full circle.
Your career has really taken off in many different versatile ways.
I'd like to call it spreading myself quite thinly and not actually falling through the ice yet. So there you are.
The Law and Order's back.
Yeah.
And I was reading something the other day about how you thought you'd, after the audition, you didn't think you had a prayer again. You had a bit of a troubled audition for it.
It wasn't so much that. I'm not very good at auditions. I like to do it on the day. So if I'm not very good at rehearsals either, seriously. I mean, stick me in front of an audience and something happens, or stick me in front of a camera and something happens. I don't know what it is, but I'm not very good at auditions. And seriously, I came out of another meeting I was at wearing an old brown suit, white shirt, black tie, and it was pouring with rain. Mm. And I was trying to find a cab. And my hair was all spammed out and gone flattened because I normally wear my hair sort of up, darling.
Yeah. And a bit of bouffant.
And and anyway, it had gone all flat, and I scraped it across one side, parted. Anyway, I got a phone call from my agent, Debbie Allen. She said, listen, there's a reading for Law and Order. You've got to go and do it. I said, oh, all right. It's sort of getting in the way of the day. Anyway, I went there. You've got to be there in 20 minutes. I was late, turned up for the audition, read terribly. It was awful. You know, I really struggle reading. I don't have word blindness or anything. Mm. I just literally, I'm not very good in auditions at reading from scripts. I'd rather learn it, and then I can do it and give it some feeling. Anyway, I read. It was dreadful. And they said, where have you been then? I said, I'm so sorry, I'm late, I'm terrible. I said, what happened was, you see, I was going to get on a bus, but I couldn't. I was over by the Angel. And what happened was this, but I won't get on the bus. What I'll do is I'll get a cab. Then the cab decided to go down. I said, what are you going that way for? What you got to do? Listen. And they're looking at me open mouth thinking, what is he going on about? And they said, well, do you know your way around London? I said, like the back of my hand. Yeah, no problem. So don't worry about that. Where are you originally from? I lived in Watford. No, I lived in East London, around near Canning Town and stuff. So I know it very well. I said, oh, yeah. So, anyway, that was that. I left it, rang my agent. She said, how'd it go? I said, terrible. I said, couldn't wait to get rid of me. And she said, oh, well, never mind. And literally put a phone down. Got a phone call a week later. Can you go back and have another reading? And apparently, one of the producers, Richard Stokes, has told me since. He said, the minute you walked out of the room, despite the reading, we said, there goes Ronnie Brooks.
Oh, fantastic. Brilliant.
He said, the second you walked out, we all looked at each other and goes, there goes Ronnie Brooks, and that was it. So and there you are. And I took my other set of glasses out, put my glasses on to read and put them above my head like I do anyway. That's why I wear them. Mm. And it happens in the show, so it's just the way it is. Luck.
So he wasn't, is he a glasses wearer in the show? The look, I mean, that didn't come from that. They had the look already set, did they, of the character they
wanted? Do you know what? Do you know what, Paul? I have absolutely no idea. But when we got there, and I remember being in rehearsals, our first director was a guy called Omar Madder, and myself and Jamie Bamber, who played the sidekick at the time, Matt Devlin, you know, the two cops there, they said, I did this line and I smiled at Jamie Bamber, like, you know, the old teethy grin. And Omar Madder went, whoa, what are you doing? I said, nothing. He said, you're not smiling. What are you doing smiling like that? I said, well, just smile. It's a laugh. It's a quip. I've done it. I said, no. He said, this bloke is a recovering alcoholic. He said, he's seen it all, done it all. He said, an old war horse. He said, you are not the alpha male. You're not in Coronation Street now. You are not smiling. And I went, oh, he said, he's the gorgeous one. He's the handsome one. He does all the smiling. And from that day on, Andy, yeah. I've gone downhill, love. I guess for some people it sort of knocks their confidence. But do you know what? I love the fact that you don't really see Ronnie doing an awful amount.
Yeah.
But what he does is right on the button. And it's testament to the scriptwriters, Chris Chibnall and all those guys. Yeah.
He's also one of those characters that you kind of, you mentioned the alcoholism there. And he's kind of, you see him in the Mac and the glasses and that kind of quiet sort of way about him. And he's got this, you see this whole backstory, you imagine it as a character. He seems like, you know, without doing a lot, you do imagine a great deal about him.
Well, he has done it all. He's on his third marriage, and his third marriage is the police force. Two failed marriages. He's got two daughters he never sees. He is a recovering alcoholic. And the partners he's had, e.g. work partners, Jamie Bamber, who was Matt Devlin, and now Paul Nichols, who's joined the cast as Sam Casey, he sees them he's like a surrogate dad, and he takes upon him to take him under his wing because he was there. Years and years ago, he was there. And this, what's interesting, I mean, this week's episode, I mean, though I have some favourite episodes we've done, I really do, out of the 39 we've made, but this Friday's is just extraordinary. It's directed by a guy called Matt King, an Australian guy, very good film director, and works in the States. And Tim McInerney's in it, Tom Georgeson. And it's about a girl who's been murdered. This is 14 years ago, right? Gets murdered 14 years ago. And we put away the wrong man. And the person we put away is her dad. For killing his own daughter. He gets estranged from his wife. And then 14 years later, in a bungled robbery,
DNA test?
Well, no, it's not a DNA test. The guy who does the robbery gets killed.
Oh, okay.
Doing the robbery. And on his deathbed, he confesses.
Wow.
And of course, 14 years ago, Ronnie Brooks was smashed out of his head every day on booze and working with another partner. And that time, Ronnie was the younger partner, whereas Tom Georgeson, who's a wonderful actor, was the older partner, and they just messed the whole thing up.
Cool.
But I've got to say, this is really, get your tissues ready. I mean, if there's any ladies listening, it's really sad. I mean, properly sad. Wow. Yeah, I mean, I watch some episodes. I don't get to watch all the episodes we make because I watch them when they actually come out. But I've got to say, you know, when you get moved, and this is really tough. And sometimes it does affect you.
Hmm.
Like, we've done shows with kids that have been, you know, killed and stuff like that. It's awful. You know, you can't imagine. And we take all of our lead from the real police.
Yeah.
We ask the police their advice. We have the CPS on hand at all times telling us what to do. So through procedure, but goodness, it's really hard. This is heart-wrenching, mate, really. And it's a massive journey for Ronnie Brooks because it just really comes back to haunt him.
Fantastic. I mean, the plot lines, a lot of them have come from the American series. Some of them did. Is that still the case, or are the original ones coming through as well?
No, absolutely. What we have to do is what's different about the show is the plot lines will slightly be the same, but our policing procedure and our judicial procedure is totally different.
Yeah.
You know, it's really peculiar. You know, and we have to then, not just the dialogue has to change, but the way we do things has to change, and that makes the show different.
Have you gone back to some of the American shows? Have you watched some? Were you kind of into it, or?
No, when they originally, it was actually Dick Wolf asked me, and he said, have you seen any of the shows, Brad? Because Dick Wolf originally wanted Ian McShane to play my part.
Okay.
Yeah. And when I first met Dick, we was at a do together. And he said, have you seen any of the shows, Brad? Did you watch any of the shows? And I went, oh, do you know what, Dick? I've got to be honest with you, mate. I've never seen it before in my life. And I said, and then as I got the part, I said, I don't want to watch them because I didn't want to be influenced by the wonderful Jerry Orbach, who played Lenny Briscoe. So.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah, yeah.
It's so different from being a comedian, being an entertainer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you like it? I mean, is it easier to act than it is to stand in front of an audience?
Let me tell you, Andy, it was Ray Winston. We played in a before the Chelsea Middlesbrough Cup final thing, you know, half time, whatever you do, and years ago.
In 97.
Indeed. Yeah. And Ray said to me, look, Brad, you've done all this now. You've done all your TV, the comedy and stand-up now. Because I used to act years and years ago, but there was never any money in it. And Ray said to me, why don't you start acting? Come on, let's do some. Go back, do some acting, Brad. And I swear, that was on the Saturday. On the Monday, I rang my agent, who was my agent at the time, and he had me, I don't think I've ever told this before, he had me within 3 days in an office with a casting director in London called Lucinda Syerson, and I did the narrative reading for the film Snatch for Guy Ritchie. Wow. So I didn't have a part, but I had the narrative reading. Mm. One of the actors hadn't turned up, so they said, Brad, would you take one of the parts as well? So I said, yeah, OK, fair enough. So I read it, and Guy Ritchie come up to me afterwards and said, why aren't you in the film? I said, I don't know. He said, well, we need to put you in the film. I said, all right, fair enough. And I did a scene, and an ad-lib scene with Jason Statham. And I actually said to Jason in this scene, I said, something, you want to watch it, son, or I'm going to cut your Jacobs off. Because it was something my dad always said. Yeah, many Londoners know what Jacobs is.
Sure. Yeah.
And Guy Ritchie looked at the script associate, nodded and said, stick that in the script. And that line is said by Alan Ford in the script.
Yeah.
And so... that was that. They then said, we're going to put you, bung you in the film. I said, that's very nice, thank you very much. And then got a phone call saying, guys found out that you hosted the Wheel of Fortune. So they don't want you in it because they don't think you can bring credibility to the part. Blimey. And at the time, though, Andy, that is exactly... So I just went, took it on the chin, say, oh, yeah, fair enough, that's all right. Another door will open. I've never been one of those that just cry over spilt milk. And as it happened, about 2 years later, they did make Lock, Stock, the series for Channel 4. And they gave me the part of Larry Harmless because they said, listen, we felt bad. We'll, you know, try out for this. And I got that part. And the producer of that was Tony Wood, who gave me my role in Coronation Street. Wow. That was it. And that's how it started.
Fantastic. We're going to talk more with Bradley when we come back. And fans of German skiers, your prayers will be answered.
Not off.
After the trouble.
Hi, I'm Gary Oldman, and you're listening to Hawksby and Jacobs on Talk Sport.
Yeah, another fine actor, Gary Oldman there.
Gary. Yeah, terrific actor. Yeah, brilliant.
Anyway, just going
not
back...
in your class.
No, he's a great actor, Gary. No,
just going back to that briefly, I remember seeing... So the first kind of proper serious actor, I saw you do a Bill, which was... Oh, you did an episode of the Bill you were very good on. Am I going mad?
I tell you what, no, it was a spin-off called MIT, oddly enough. You're absolutely right. Come on, you have got a good memory.
And
yes.
I remember you seeing, because I knew you, and I've seen you, and I thought, blimey, that was good. You should be doing more of this.
Well, that was a deliberate move. I got offered that part, and I said, and I discussed with my wife whether I should do it or not, because it was the part was of an incestuous dad.
That's it, yeah.
Whose wife actually had killed their daughter because she was jealous of the daughter's relationship with the dad. Mm. And that broke the mould. That was it. That really was the turning point. And that was the way. And then all of a sudden, the drama people go, oh, I didn't know you could act. Well, actually, I could act years and years ago, but there was no money in it. So there was no point. He was going to, for those days, we would have starved. You know, you can't eat scripts. So
you can try.
But you can try.
The Chase, of course, you do.
Oh, yeah,
well,
yeah, The Chase.
Which is a lot of fun.
It is. It's good.
We enjoy the sporting questions on there. Occasionally, they pop up.
They
don't they? And you do get some corkers.
Excuse me.
We've
got a link to it.
If you go along to the... you may have seen it, and it'll be all right on the night over Christmas. If you go to the TalkSport website, talksport.co.uk/H&J, you'll see a little clip of Bradley losing it over a German skier.
Yeah, yeah.
He's had an interesting name.
Well, what was it? Listen, I am Anchorman on that show, and the question setters know I will just read the question. I don't see the questions beforehand. Mm. I read them. Mm. I play the game along with the contestant. That's what's fun about the show for me. I play the game, I help answer the questions, stuff like that. So this question comes up, and it says, "And which
sport?
Which sport is the German athlete Fanny Schmeller?
Yeah.
And of course, the name, I just read it. Didn't think anything of it. And then the it cuts from me to the contestant. And then I've realised the name. And, of course, it's my juvenile sense of humour. And I totally have lost it. And then I've got in my mind the picture of the two question setters in the gallery on the floor saying, we've got him again, we've got him again. And so that compounded with the fact that the name is, you know, a bit unfortunate. Just set me off, and I really couldn't get a grip. Mm. And do you know something? Her Wikipedia page, her fan base has gone through the roof for her.
Really?
They're following her. ESPN have been following her. She's not having a particularly good season, but totally honest, and they even told her about it. ESPN told her about it in an interview, and she said, I don't mind, it's fine, it's all good. So I'm desperate to meet Fanny now, just to say hello. Well, you make
it. I think we'll move on.
You may get it. You may get it. If you would like to see the clip, talksport.co.uk/H&J.
It is well worth.
You sense you're a bit of a YouTube sensation in the moment. A couple of other things have popped up. Well, that's had about over 2 million hits. That
wow.
has the Fannish Man.
Wow.
There's one on YouTube. I've just learnt this morning now from where Ronnie Brooks is investigating at a youth club and starts hip-hop dancing. And I only did it for a laugh, because it was a rehearsal. But they've stuck it on... I don't know who's done it, but it's... I've seen it, and it's very funny.
Oh, OK.
It just takes you a bit by surprise, really. It's, yeah.
It's good. So how did the chase come about? You just asked, is it an existing format, and you were asked to do it?
No, do you know what? I'd be honest with you, I totally doorstepped ITV. I did a show called Spin Star. It was taken off the air, and I was walking... I was honestly in the Gray's Inn Road... And I rang the head of daytime, a lady called Ali Sharman, and her assistant at the time was a lady called Diane Howie. And I rang them and said, listen, can I have a pop up and have a cup of tea, like you do? Mm. And she said, oh, yeah, Ali said, hello, Brad. Yeah, yeah, of course. Where are you? I said, I'm in the Gray's Inn Road. She said, well, we've got 10 minutes. So I literally went and sat in the office, had a cup of tea, and I said, she said, well, you're doing drama now. I said, yeah, I am. But I said, I still like the old thing. Have you got anything in daytime that might come up? And Di Howie said, hang on a minute, let me go and get this. I've got something for you to have a look at. And brought in on a piece of A4 paper the format for the chase. I said, oh, that looks all right, yeah. That might go. She said, we're going to do an office run-through. Do you want to host it in the office?
Mm.
And I said, yeah, sure. Mm. So I went and did the office run-through. At that time, the producer and two producers were Mike Kelpie and Sue Allison, now the executive producers and, you know, work in exalted positions. And they said, look, and I sort of larked around like I do with the format.
Well,
that's the secret. You learn the format so you know it backwards and in your sleep.
Mm.
So by the time I got to the office, I had the own little catchphrases and stuff like going, you know, they're all right, the chase is on. And they all were like that, yeah, doing all that sort of thing. And anyway, that was it. I finished the run through, walked out and said, listen, we're going to make a pilot. Will you host the pilot? I said, yeah, sure, no problem. Because, you know, I'm pals with them all in there, and if they've always helped me out.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, no problem. I'll come do the pilot for you. Did a studio pilot, made a series of 10 shows, did them up in Manchester, come down, focus group said we like it, and away we went. So I literally doorstepped for a cup of tea. If you've got anything knocking around in the daytime.
What about that? Brilliant,
yeah.
Isn't it? That's good. And you got a lot more of those...
And Ali Sharman now on the phone. Hang on.
Telling the story. New series. We've got something else for you.
Hang on.
Like
they're doing something called Loose Men.
Hang on. Who is it?
Loose Men.
Who is it? I'm sorry, I'm on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, and...
wasn't Arsene Wenger, was it?
No, don't with Arsene Wenger. Don't with Arsene Wenger.
We were talking Arsenal in the break, you're a big Arsenal fan. Oh, Andy, don't, mate.
It's just become a joke. So, Sunday, right, Swansea, what you best thing you want to do, how often in a match do you see a centre-half taken off?
Hmm.
How often does that happen? Never. Even if you're five down, never. That's how good he is, that lad. I don't know if he's carrying an injury or he's got no head or whatever, but that is extraordinary what he's done. You know, not to buy anyone. That's Razor Ruddock.
Is he listening? he's probably listening.
It's Razor. Yeah. Razor, I'm on the radio. And I just honestly just can't believe how he hasn't gone and bought some players. He had the chance to buy Scotty Parker, we were talking about that. Now look what Parker's done now for Spurs and Harry. Freed up Modric, you know, Oxlade-Chamberlain, I've seen him, he's a good lad. Then all of a sudden Thierry Henry, who's actually 2 years older than me, I think he's nearly 56, he comes out of retirement. They said the Messiah's returned, but you know what, if you're not going to beat Leeds...
Yeah.
Do you know, I'm not being disrespectful for Leeds because I think that's a fantastic club.
Mm.
But come on, give me a break. You know, go and buy some players that are going to mean something to the club. We haven't won anything. And I just, you know, and then all of, I'll tell you what the best thing to do, take off Arshavin and put on Rizicki.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic player for player, like for like swap. That's the best thing to do.
He'll put in a shift for you.
It's interesting, they've got United this week, and it really is, it's a season-defining game for me. If they win it, then they're back in the top four hunt and all that. If they lose it, you've got to think they're right out.
Andy, the season-defining game, mate, was when we lost to Man City. If we'd have beaten Man City that day, we'd have closed that gap. Mm. That was a true six-pointer. Anyone who wants to know about a six-pointer, that was it.
Mm.
That was the defining moment our season. And if you... Who's standing by right at the end as the goal, as old Silver's like slots it? Who's standing right by him?
It's Rosicky! That's who it is!
Not a massive fan. Brad, we've run out of time. Always a pleasure to see you.
Oh, look, you've wound me up now, lads. I've got to go. I've got to go to the pub.
And Law and Order back Friday, 9 o'clock.
Yeah, ITV1, yeah.
And how many shows in the series?
There's 7 in the series, so this Friday's is very sad. Get your Kleenex, that's the best thing to do.
Lovely to see you as always.
God bless. Cheers, care. Paul. Look Andy, yourself. Wish you well. Thanks, mate.
Bradley Walsh there. It's Paul Hawkesby and Andy Jacobs with you through until 4. Plenty more to come this afternoon. Ali Ross with us in the next hour. And
Sell Rosicky!
More besides. We'll try and calm him down during the news.
Sell Rosicky!